None of us can. We're all sinners. And yet the one that was without sin came into this world and created his bride, the body of Christ. And so this connection between Hosea marrying the prostitute and Jesus coming to the world to save the world from its own sins, a direct connection. Can you see that picture? But the most incredible moment happens in Hosea, and lots of people miss this. I want you to turn to Hosea 3:2. We'll put it on the screen here to see this for ourselves. Can you bring that up before I get to the passage? Here's Hosea. They have become separate. She is such a philanderer. She never comes home. She's been out, and she's become the slave of somebody. And now she's at the auction, at the slave auction, being auctioned off. And Hosea comes into the auction. He's in the back row. They're bidding on her. And he makes this bid. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. She had been nothing but unfaithful and nothing but trouble for the prophet. And he still buys her back. Does that tell you something about the love of Jesus for you? Huh? Come on, that should break your heart right now. Because that's what Jesus has done. He's bought us with a price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the background to Hosea. Now, meanwhile, this is the political situation. Tilgath-Pileser, I'm sure you're all familiar with him. Tilgath-Pileser III, the emperor of the Assyrian Empire, is now crushing the northern kingdom. Hosea's ministry was to the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that separated from the other two. The two are down, you know, the Judeans and the Benjamites are still in the south area, and Isaiah is their prophet at the same time that Hosea is the prophet to the northern kingdom. He fails, though, in his prophecy. They don't turn back. But this is what his call is. So let's listen to this very carefully. Come, let us return to the Lord. 6:1. He has torn us to pieces, now he will heal us. Yeah, that's right. The northern kingdom was being torn to pieces. He has injured us, but now he will bandage our wounds. But what's the proviso? We have to return. If we don't return, no healing, no bandages. See? We have to return. They didn't. Where are the 10 tribes today? We don't know. They're gone. We know where the Benjamites are and the Judeans are. Don't know where the rest went. 2, in just a short time, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. Some of the translations say in 2 days he will revive you, in 3 days he will lift you up. But it means in a short time, God is going to do a powerful work among us. Can you receive that? If you can receive that by faith and say, you know what, I'm going to receive that because I need some restoration, I need some revival, I need a break. All right, it's going to take some while, but you've got to return to get it. And then verse 3. Oh, to live in his presence. Oh, that we may know the Lord. Okay, now that's an intellectual, may we know the Lord intellectually. Let us press on to know him experientially. There's two knowledges here. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring. Now here we are, 4:30 in the morning. Jeanette just described the situation. Jeanette and Cheryl were singing. I was singing. It's 4:30 in the morning. It's pitch black out this window. For an hour and a half, we praise. 7 o'clock, it's getting lighter and lighter. And I was saying to myself, I bet you a dollar we're going to have dawn this morning. It's as sure as the dawn that God will restore, that God will revive, that God will lift up. Now, how sure is that in your mind? It's about 1,000% for me. And as the dawn, we got this visual. We've got Isaiah 6:1-3 spread out all over the sanctuary. Everybody's looking at the verse. As sure as the dawn, God will respond to us. He comes up and the light pours into the church. It was an amazing moment. Now, what you need right now is a dawning, don't you? Or it says, in addition to that, as sure as the rains come in the early spring, in the old translations, you have the latter rain. And that's the most refreshing rain. It's when it's the most needed. And I want to believe that God is going to rain on you in 2011. I want to believe that as sure as the dawn is coming, that you're going to have the blessing of God. Whatever year, you know what I'm talking about. Did I say 2011? I don't want 2011 to happen again. Let me back up. 2013, let it be written, so let it be done. 2013, a great year. I'm going to read it again, but now I want you to look at the lettuces. I'm not talking about that green stuff you buy at the grocery store. I'm talking about the lettuce in this passage. See how many you can find. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. He will heal us. He has injured us. Now he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence, so that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring. How many lettuces there? There's two literal ones, isn't there? Let us return, let us press on. But there's a third one there that's implied, so that we may live in his presence. Let us live in his presence. And that turns out to be the whole point. That's point two in my sermon, so I'll get that to that in a minute. So we're getting a lot of lettuce here, aren't we? Let us return, let us qualify to live in his presence, and let us press on to know him, not just intellectually, but experientially. All right, so are you ready for all that? What we have learned that there are no shortcuts to growing spiritually. It's hard work to grow spiritually. And by the way, growing spiritually does not and cannot happen accidentally. It has to be done with complete, firm intentionality. Is it your intention to seek God with all that you are in 2013? You just can shake your head. You can say amen. You can stamp your feet, whatever you want to say. But if that is your intention, then you've learned a lesson from our vigil, because the vigil is telling us there are no shortcuts, there's no tricks, there's no, you know, the guru won't do this for you. It's going to take you and discipline, because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, preachers make a distinction all the time between a convert to Jesus Christ and a disciple of Jesus Christ. A convert said yes to Jesus at the youth camp and believes in Jesus now. But a disciple is trying to mimic Jesus, imitate Jesus in every way that he or she can. That's the difference. 269 times in the New Testament, the word disciple is used. This is an important issue to Jesus himself. He says, go and make disciples. What are we to do? We are to be more and more like Jesus. Every day brings us a little closer to being more like him. That's what disciples do. 269 times, that's a lot of disciples, isn't there? References to discipleship in the Bible. Now, it begins with returning to the Lord. This has to be a physical move on your part, because, you know, you're heading in this direction, and it's the direction of, well, it's the direction of Thelma, or it's the direction of Ernie. This is my agenda. I'm going down this way. God says, well, wait a minute. Are you willing to replace your agenda with mine? And Ernie says, I am, Lord. And he turns around and he goes this way. Because oftentimes our agenda is the complete opposite of what God wants. Have you noticed that? I have. I have the same issue. I mean, I'm not no super saint. I'm just the guy with the Bible in my hand. But the bottom line is, God is calling us all to return to him. A new intensity, a new intentionality, a firm conviction, putting our hope in the living God of the Bible and in his promises for 2013 like we never have before. Are you willing to go on this journey? Because it may not be that easy. You know, this might be like heading with the dwarves out east. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've been told. I've read the book twice, so I know the story. It's going to be rough, but it's going to be well worth it in the end. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, say amen to that. Yeah, I'm willing to take the steps that are necessary. So I'm returning. Now, here's some incentive. If you're wounded if you're beat up, God says, I will heal you now. I will bring healing to you, but you have to be present to win. That's why he says, return to me. I want you to be with me. Be present with me. You know, I had three people along the way say, do I have to come down there and pray? Can I pray in the comfort of my own living room with my heater? And No. You have to come down. And the thing was is that the continuity, I was clear on this. I felt that God wanted us to have a body in here for 72 hours praying. I didn't want any space. So people were like, wah. And I had to say, save your drama for your mama. Come on down here. And they did. They did. And I want to believe, because we were present and we responded, that God now has us in a position to heal. It's like, yeah, God can heal you at a long distance, and Jesus did that all the time, didn't he? Yeah, your servant is healed. Don't worry about it. But it's so much more incredible when it's direct and you have the touch of the Lord on you. That's where the healing can come. Now let's move to the second point here, which is God wants us revived and restored. Do you believe that? He doesn't want you to be weak, dull, and lifeless. He wants you to be alive in him. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have to seek the life of Jesus Christ. That's the abundant life. Look at the second point. To qualify us for life in his presence on earth as it is in heaven. You know, Jesus said, okay, I want you to have a bit of heaven here in advance. What we're talking about is an experience of God that is heaven-like, but it's happening here on earth. It's a kind of a consciousness of God that can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're seeking. Being a Spirit-filled Christian and being able to say that, you know, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. The Holy Spirit's in my life. So when we have that, it requires a plunge, the nesty plunge, if you will. You fling yourself into the presence of God because you really don't know what it's going to mean, except that it'll cost you something. Mostly your own self-interest. Anybody willing to leave their self-interest behind? Okay, about six of you. That's about right at this stage. All right. But qualifying for the life in his presence. Now, here's the thing. We had dramatic testimonies like Jeanette where, you know, the electricity of God was going through her hands. And then we had people say, they didn't really say this to me, but I could tell by the way they left. That was the most boring hour of my life. It's okay, though, because you see, the problem with us Americans is if it's not sensational, it means nothing. I mean, if I don't get a thrill out of this, if it's not fun, then it can't be for me. And God is saying the least important of all your experiences in prayer is the feeling you get from it. You know, and some people are saying, I didn't feel anything. The angels didn't come down. No, I didn't get any word from God. But let me reiterate, that does not mean that God was not present. He was. He is present now. He's hearing what I'm saying to you. He's collaborating in your heart right now, my words, because the Holy Spirit is present right now speaking to you, and he's just like the amplifier to my word right now. That's what's happening. Now, here's the problem with us Americans, and it's perfectly illustrated. The fiscal cliff is coming the last week of December, and you heard me going on about this last week. The fiscal cliff is coming, and the Congress is doing nothing, and we are scared. We're afraid because the world is going to come. The sky is falling. The day after the Congress comes in, they make a couple of decisions. And now everybody's singing, who's afraid of the fiscal cliff? Da, da, da. And that's America, friends. That is frivolity. That is trivial. That is weak. That is shallow. What is the most virtuous thing that an American can do according to ABC, NBC, and CBS right now? Lose 20 pounds of that Christmas flab. That is the most virtuous thing that Americans can do, to lose weight. Let's get on a weight loss program right now. And you're like a saint. We even have we have a new class of celebrity, weight loss celebrities. I lost 700 pounds. Top that. You know, and again, our focus is completely off what is really important and what really matters. This book addresses over and over and over again what really matters. And at the end of the line, you might weigh 400 pounds, you might weigh 98 pounds. God's not going to care because you're going to leave that body behind anyway. Now, I read 1 Corinthians 15. It says you get a new body, immortal, imperishable. That's the body I need. I need one of those right away. But here's the thing I want you all to know. No, regardless if you found this moment, this hour or two or 15 hours, some of you were here 15 hours. The thing that I want you to come away with it, whether you had sensation or if it was boredom, nobody is going to argue that that hour, that 15-hour stretch that you did was not consequential. This was a consequential moment in the life of this church and in the lives of the believers that participated. And that's what we've learned, that this is a consequential moment and we're doing things that are consequential. Aren't you glad to be part of something consequential? Because the world is full of inconsequential. I personally want to be involved with the consequential. And so I want to take my knowledge of God further. Now, you know, there's probably few of you that have had as much training in the Bible as I've had, and I know the Bible, okay? You get me into a Bible trivia game, you're going to be toast. I'm sorry, okay, but it's my job. But, you know, the intellectual knowledge that comes from studying the Bible is not enough. And I'm talking about in Hosea here. Hosea is saying, yeah, let's go and let, you know, we want to know God. But then he goes, let us press on to know him. Okay, so he's saying that we might know the Lord, and we can know the Lord. We can know that John 3:16 says, for God so loves us. And we can know that intellectually. We know that God loves us because he sent his son. That's the evidence. But do you experience that love? That's what happens when you press on to know him. When you're having that experiential experience of God, you know his love. Because you can feel it now. You have assurance in your soul. That's a different kind of level. So we have two kinds of knowledges, intellectual, and we have the experiential. We need both. And the question is, are you ready? Have you learned that lesson now? Is it time to experience God in a fresh way, in a strong way? I hope your answer is yes. Now, can we know God this deeply? Because that question comes up. And the answer is absolutely yes. Because it's as sure as the arrival of the dawn. Y'all expect the dawn to come next tomorrow? That's how sure it is. Expecting rain in spring? That's, well, hopefully. I like the dawn thing. That seems a little more solid to me. But you can count on this experience. Now, in the midst, I'll finish with this. In the midst of this whole 72-hour process, it was time to go and get some sandwiches. I wasn't fasting. And so I say, Thelma, what do you want for lunch? She says, hey, give me one of those turkey loaf sandwiches from New Frontiers. So I go down to New Frontiers, you know, and they've got like seven girls up in the front and they got five people in the back. There's 12 people running that stand. I'm the only customer that I can see. It takes them 40 minutes, and I'm not lying, to fix a meatloaf sandwich. I'm standing there, and I'm just like this, and they keep coming up. Can we offer you a cup of coffee? We know you've been waiting a long time. And I said, well, sure, you know. And I already told myself, I'm not going to complain. They're chanting their mantras back there. I don't know what they're doing, but they aren't getting around to my sandwich. And I wasn't going to be bitter. And I felt very much at peace. I was just standing there in front of that counter. You all know the New Frontier counter. And I'm standing there, and I'm just waiting for these sandwiches, and I'm not going to get barky because, oh, he's the pastor. He's, you know, he's got an attitude. You know, he's waited 35 minutes. Most people have to wait an hour. So I'm standing there, and one of the men that I've been ministering to for 6 years rushes past. He's a little shorter than me, and I grab him. He just rushes by, and I grab him. And all of a sudden, God reveals why that sandwich wasn't being made. Because I had an appointment, and evidently I came in a little early. And I look in his face, and I won't say his name, but he's somebody that a lot of you know. And he says, Frank, I am so desperate, I'm on the verge of suicide. I am so broke, I can't stand it. I don't even have gas money. I don't have any minutes on my phone. I can't listen for job calls coming in. I don't know what to do. And I said, what you can do is relax because the Lord is going to bless you right now. I said, we got benevolence money. You come down to the church. He comes down to the church. I get him in my office. All right, buddy. It's time for you to get right with God. How many times do we have to go through this cycle with you? And you know what he said to me? I know that God would make me happy. I know if I had God in my life, I'd be happy. Then what's the problem? I'm afraid of being happy. Did you hear that? I'm afraid of being happy. I'm afraid of being secure. I'm afraid of being part of a community that'll love me. It's going to take some work with this guy. But now I realize that over and over again, God has linked me up with him, and I've been able to bail him out over and over again, and it's kind of like Gomer. Honestly, it's like Gomer. It's like, what is it going to take to buy this woman out of this deep pit, you know? What's it going to take to get this guy out of this crazy idea? Isn't that crazy talk? I'm afraid to be too happy. I'm afraid to be too secure. I'm afraid to be courageous. I like being a gutless coward. What's wrong? The message of Jesus can break through that, and that's what 2013 is going to be. And I want to believe, and I'm going to claim it right now, that this guy is going to be in our congregation, and he's going to be having victory over his fear of happiness. And I'll go you know, when the day comes and he's standing up here like Jeanette did, on that day I'm going to say, that was the guy. All right? Are we on that? All right, that's all I have to say about all that. It's time for us to take our first communion into 2013. Now, I want you to make this a benchmark in your spiritual journey for 2013, all right? The first communion. Because God can use communion powerfully. And if I can get some helpers. All right. When we come to a sacred moment like this, and you may have remembered this at Christmas Eve when we served communion last, we had Christmas Eve communion. I said that there is a idea that there is sacred time, and the window of heaven opens up and says, all right, this is going to be a special moment of blessing. And whenever we take communion, this special window of blessing opens up. Some believe that this is simply a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. It's that. Yeah, I include that in my thinking about communion, but it's so much more. Because, you see, there is a gracious dynamic to what's going to happen here with us in taking this communion. It's a gracious dynamic that reaches all the way back to when Jesus served the apostles in the Last Supper. That same grace is available right now. Do you believe that? So this makes this about as holy as we can be. This is the holiest moment we can enter into. So Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Father, bless this bread. It's common bread, Lord. But when you touch it, it becomes uncommon and loaded with grace. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to you. This is for you, the bread of Christ. Now notice, he was broken so that you could be made whole. When you get the bread, and we're using unleavened bread this morning, because that's what the Bible says. Unleavened bread. And as always, when it comes to you, you turn to your neighbor, you say, this is the body of our Lord broken for you. Get eye contact. Okay, don't do this as a ritual, please. Get eye contact and say, this is the body of our Lord broken for you. to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all to thee. I surrender humbly at his feet. I shall ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow worldly pleasure all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. The body of our Lord broken for you. Let me get eye contact. And I surrender. Bill, the body of our Lord. Eye contact. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now's the moment. Establish your relationship with Jesus through this bread. This bread that you take means that you name the name of Jesus as Lord. It's a sacred thing. But by taking this bread, you're reinforcing your commitment to him. So can you do that? Let's take it together in Jesus' name. That same night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you for the remission of your sin." Now, I don't know about you. I've got deep sin in my life. But this blood of Christ washes it away. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have not sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what this cup means. Now, a lot of us have been dragging our sins around. Actually, we kind of cherish our sins. We keep them in the closet. And they're stinking the whole house up. It's time to cast out everything. Let's throw it out. You know, it's time for spring cleaning. Are you ready for that? So as the cup comes from you, this is the cup of our Lord poured out for you. Let's say it over and over as we share with each other. The cup of the Lord poured out for you. Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let the blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let's sing it again. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. Cup of our Lord poured out for you, brother. Let us all stand. Promises is that when we're cleansed through the blood of Christ, our sins are as far away as the east is from the west. That's a long way, isn't it? So let's take down this drink in honor of our Lord and receive His blessing in His powerful name, the name of Jesus. Father, we say hallelujah. We say glory to God. We say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. Pass your cups to the side. And let's finish up with one more song. I say, Lord, there is none like Thee. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Thy mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hand. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. No, nothing compares to the promise I have in You. Amen. So ends our first Sunday of worship at Christ Center. I'm kind of sad, but I guess you have to go. All right, we've worshiped God in praise, vocally, in our hearts in prayer. We've made our offerings. We've heard the Word of God. We've responded. We've taken communion. We've heard the testimony. Anything else? Father, bless. Did I hear something? Praise the Lord. Okay. Father, bless Your people now as they go from this place. Fill them to overflowing with the grace and power of the Holy Spirit And Lord, help them to be effective in their love life and sharing Jesus with others. And Lord, they can go in their grace now, the grace of Jesus. Amen. Go in God's grace.